Hey, what's up? This is the SB Nation College Basketball Podcast. I'm Ricky Donald. I'm joined, as always, by from NBC Sports, Scott Phillips. Scott, what's going on, man?
Ricky, thanks for having me on again.
So I think, you know, we've been talking a lot of recruiting in the last few weeks, but I think it's finally time to ramp up our coverage for the start of the college season. Our idea for the next few weeks is we're going to take five players who are going to be vital to their team's success from each class, starting with the freshman class today, on to the sophomores, juniors, and seniors. So we're just going to discuss a few of our favorite incoming freshmen this year, guys who should play a big role for top 25 teams you're going to see in the NCAA tournament. So let's start this off, I think, with Ben Simmons. He's the obvious guy here. He's probably the most well-known incoming recruit heading into the college season. He's either projected to be the number one or number two pick in the 2016 NBA draft alongside Scala Bissier. For people who don't know, Simmons came to Montverde. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Montverde Academy in Florida, the same school D'Angelo Russell went to, same school Florida's Casey Hill went to. He went there for his last 2 years of high school coming from Australia. He's a 6'10 point forward. He's going to need to work on his jump shot a bit, but really everything else, it seems like Simmons is a no-brainer, top prospect. Scott, what kind of impact do you expect Simmons to have at LSU this year, and do you think he's going to be able to live up to the hype?
I think he's going to have a very large impact on LSU's season, Ricky, and he comes in with such a high IQ, and I think that's the reason why. He's a guy who, with the ball in his hands at 6'10", can make plays both as a scorer and a passer. He's a good straight line driver, but he's also got a little bit of flair to him, going to the basket with either hand. Great passer, and tremendous vision. He's good on cross court passes. He draws in defenses and kicks to shooters. He should have talent around him with guys like Tim Quarterman and Antonio Blakeney, who have played well in Australia on this overseas tour for the Tigers. And if you've seen highlights of Ben Simmons over in Australia so far, you see what I've seen in terms of his upside and his potential to impact the college game this season. Some highlight reel plays already, just like, you know, corralling rebounds and taking it the length of the floor. Yeah, he's a guy who can go coast to coast on any situation on defensive rebounds. He moves well laterally. It should be really fun to watch him play this year. It really should be his team in a lot of ways, because I think we'll see LSU put the ball in his hands because he's so talented as a playmaker.
Yeah, it's not often a team can lose two guys as talented as Jordan Mickey and Jarrell Martin and, you know, get better. But I think that that's what LSU is looking at this year. One thing I wanted to talk about with Simmons is sort of how you see him long-term as a prospect. To me, the way to build a team around Simmons, ideally, is I think he's sort of come up as a wing, but he's obviously a four, I think, moving forward. He's 6'10", 225 pounds. He struggles to shoot. If it's me, what I'm doing is getting shooters at the 1, 2, and 3, having Simmons, control all the action. Everything runs through Simmons at the 4 as a point forward, and then a rim-protecting 5. I think if you have that kind of infrastructure around Simmons, that you're going to have a hell of a team. And LSU sort of has that with Quarterman, who you mentioned, who I think is going to have a big-time year. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays his way into being a first-round pick this year. And, of course, Antonio Blakeney, the Louisville decommit, his former AAU teammate with Simmons on the EYBL, so he's already got a little bit of a connection there with Blakeney. I'm sure Simmons has a million assists in his grassroots career, kicking out to Blakeney for three. So I think that they sort of have a good foundation of talent there. Josh Gray is, I believe, still there, right? They have a few other guards who can knock down a shot too. So I think LSU is looking good.
They're a talented team. They just have to find consistent outside shooting, because Blakeney can be a little inconsistent at times. Quarterman is a decent three-point shooter. Simmons has not been good from the outside. But you're right, Ricky, going back to your remark on building around Simmons, I think you make the LeBron type of model where you build a team around Simmons based with shooting and rim protection and let him do his thing. He rebounds effectively. He passes effectively. I think even if you have another guy with the ball in his hands, like Tim Quarterman will this year as the point guard of LSU in a lot of ways, he's had a lot of like 5 to 6 assist games in his career. You're looking at a guy in Simmons who can come and curl off of screens and receive the ball and just make plays and get ahead of steam going towards the rim, and he can play on or off the ball and be effective. I just think he's going to have a pretty good year at LSU based on his IQ. He just knows how to play the game. He sees the floor differently than these other guys, just a little bit above them in terms of the way he plays the game.
Yeah, and he's just shockingly tall. Like, to put it in the simplest terms, Simmons is the size of a power forward, sort of the speed of a wing and the feel of a point guard. You throw that all in one prospect, and that's a hell of a combination. Let's move on to the next guy. This is going to be Simmons' main competition to be the number one pick in the 2016 NBA draft. Kentucky big man Skyle Labissiere. I was a huge Karl Towns fan. I think that at Kentucky, Karl Towns only showed a small fraction of what he's going to be able to do in the NBA. So to lose a player like Towns is always tough. I don't think Skyle is as talented as Towns, but I do think he's the best possible replacement in this class of 2015 to fill the role of someone like Karl Towns. You look at Labissiere, and I think he projects as sort of like the fever dream of what everyone's looking for, and that's a big man who can both protect the rim and stretch the floor out to the three-point line. Kentucky, with the three-point guard lineup they're likely to run this year with Tyler Ulis, Briscoe, and Jamal Murray, they're going to have so much, so many dribble handoff opportunities and pick-and-pop opportunities with Labissiere. And we've seen throughout his grassroots career that he can knock down an 18-foot jump shot, no problem. I believe he has range out to three, especially from the corners. And defensively, we're talking about a guy who's probably 6'11", 220. He's going to need to add some weight. He certainly doesn't have the heft that Towns entered college with, but potentially just as athletic as Towns. He's like a 4-5 combo. I think that, for Kentucky, you're probably going to have him in the front court paired with either Alex Poitras or Marcus Lee at all times. And he's going to be one of the primary offensive scoring options for this team. I would say the primary front court scoring option. For people who don't know much about Labissiere, what do you think he brings to Kentucky, and what makes him such a special player?
See, I don't know if I necessarily agree that he'll be one of Kentucky's main options this season, Ricky. I think those three guards are going to dictate a lot of what happens. Briscoe and Murray are going to get a lot of shots.
For their shots, too.
Yes, Ulis will deliver a lot of guys' shots. I think that Labissiere might be in a position, more similar to Nerlens Noel, where maybe the offensive production isn't there on the surface right away, but he has a lot of long-term potential. That's what you have to like about him. His wingspan, his measurables are tremendous. He moves the floor very well. I think that, coming over to the United States from Haiti, he's had a great transition in terms of his learning curve and acclimating to the American style of play. I think now we just have to see how it translates when scouting reports are in play, when guys are taking away strengths, when you're playing the game at a much faster pace against elite-level competition, especially when he doesn't have the weight to necessarily play at that level yet. I think he'll have spurts where he's very productive and spurts where maybe he's not necessarily as involved as you would hope. But I think a lot of that is growing into his body, still figuring out how to acclimate to the SEC level. I think he's got a chance to be very good. I think that Briscoe and Murray will be their better freshmen, though, this year, however.
Interesting. Yeah, I almost put Jamal Murray on this list just because after watching what he did at the Nike Hoop Summit in Portland, where he was the MVP of that game, I think he scored 30 points, and the way he just tore apart the recent Pan Am Games competition for Canada, he scored 22 and a quarter to beat a United States team that features Anthony Randolph. Throwing this out there, we need Anthony Randolph in more events for Team USA. I want him in everything. Get him on whatever we have. But Labissiere, it's an interesting comp to hear you say Nerlens in the same vein because, I think that...
I was talking in terms of the production, not how they play necessarily, but maybe like the production aspect of things.
Because I think that he has a reputation, Skyle does, for being a more polished offensive player.
He is, and it wasn't a... I was comparing the production that you would potentially have.
Yeah, and you just look at Kentucky and you go from, Cousins to AD to Nerlens to Cauley-Stein to Julius Randle, and then Towns is just unbelievable. They keep getting these no-brainer top five NBA draft picks to come in, and, Scal's the next in that line, and it'd be foolish for us to assume he's going to be anything else but a great player for Calipari and Kentucky this year. Next guy you want to talk about, Jaylen Brown. He's a wing from who's going to Cal. He's going to be part of a loaded Cal team. Not a lot of people expected Brown to end up at Cal. Cal didn't even make his final list at a certain point. He didn't take an official visit to Cal. He paid his own way out there to come visit the school. At Cal, he's going to team with Ivan Rabb, who's another top 10 prospect in this class of 2015. He's a big man. And it sets up sort of an interesting dynamic for Cal because they have these two stud five-star recruits joining a very talented core that includes Tyrone Wallace, Jabari Bird. So they're going to have a lot of talent for Quanzo Martin to work with. He certainly turned around that program quicker than I think anyone could have anticipated. What do you think about Brown?
I think that Brown has a chance to be an impact player, Ricky, and a lot of that is because there are pieces in place to help ease the burden that he has to do scoring and rebounding.
Yeah,
he's a good rebounder on the wing, but now that he's able to play the natural three with Rab playing the four, and so far they've played Kingsley Okoro at the center alongside Rab in this latest trip in Australia this summer for Cal. But you know, going back to Brown, he's already led them in scoring. You know, on this trip. During a few instances, he was one of the more polished wing scorers entering college basketball from this class. He's already got a college-ready body that we like to talk about, in which a player is strong enough to physically handle the night-in, night-out rigors of playing, you know, a league schedule and playing multiple games in a week. And I think that he's the type of guy who could have a very good season, especially if he shoots the ball well. Cal, a very dangerous team. Jordan Matthews returning for them as well. Tyrone Wallace might get a chance to be a point guard. And you talk about how tall that team could be with Brown at the three and Wallace as one of the backcourt positions. That's a pretty good team. Jabari Bird, if he comes off the bench or starts, is a dynamic player. I mean, they have some really good pieces in place, and if they can get some production from guys like Kingsley Okoro, maybe Stephen Domingo coming off the bench, the Georgetown transfer, and hitting shots for them. Their outside shooting is a little bit of a question mark in some cases. I think they could be a really good team this year, and Brown could have a very big part of it.
If this was an NBA team, we'd call them a league pass favorite because they're going to be so much fun to watch just on a nightly basis. To me, it's going to be really interesting to see what Martin does with his lineup because their five best players does not include a traditional center. It doesn't even really include a traditional point guard.
Well, they have Wallace playing the point guard, and so far right. They've had Bird come off the bench and Kingsley Okoro at center, which, you know, if you have Rab and Brown in natural positions, I guess that makes sense.
Okay, so I want to see the five best lineup, though, with Wallace at point guard, Matthews and Bird on the wings, Jaylen Brown at the four and Rab at the five. Rab doesn't really have the heft, you wouldn't think, to hold his own in the post, but there will not be a more athletic front court in the country than Jaylen Brown and Ivan Rab if you put those two guys in there. And Brown, you know, he is a wing. He's definitely going to be a wing, but he's 6'6". He's strong. I think he's got, you know, he's got the size to do sort of what Justice Winslow did for Duke last year in the NCAA tournament when they turned him into a four and really just started running teams off the floor. I think that Matthews, Wallace, Bird, Brown, Rab lineup could just be absolutely nasty for Cal.
It could be really good, and you'll have to see what, you know, Konzo Martin tinkers with and works with, and he has a lot of different things that he could go to this season, and that's what makes them one of the more interesting teams to watch during this exhibition trip to Australia and the early part of the regular season.
Next guy, Brandon Ingram. Could have been a North Carolina commit. He grew up in Jerry Stackhouse's AAU program. He's from Kinston, North Carolina. He said that, you know, maybe he would have committed to the Tar Heels without the NCAA allegations hanging over the program. Instead, he waits till the spring, commits at the last minute after a amazing summer on the AAU circuit that really saw him rise up the national rankings. He commits to Duke. So now he's sort of following in this line of, you know, oversized Duke wings alongside Jabari Parker, Justice Winslow. A year from now, it's going to be Jason Tatum, and this year it's Brandon Ingram's turn. Ingram, for those who don't know, he's like a 6'9 or 6'10, extremely skinny wing from the North Carolina area. He's a guy who has drawn some comparison to Kevin Durant just based on the way he looks. Super long arms, like I said, impossibly skinny, and he likes shooting outside jumpers. I think at Duke, it's easy to envision him sliding into the four, even though, you know, he's definitely going to have to add a lot of weight to play that position long term. At the college level, he's going to be so tall. I think you can get away with him at the four alongside Emile Jefferson. Now, the one thing about Ingram, though, is that he's very young. Like, a lot of these guys are you know, turning 19. Ingram is just turning 18. He's one of the youngest players in the class. Do you think Ingram can be similarly effective to the way Parker and Winslow are, or is he still too raw as a player? Is he more of a guy with long-term upside than immediate impact?
I think the thing that separates Justice Winslow and Jabari Parker from Brandon Ingram is that they were far more physically mature than Brandon Ingram.
Ingram is super skinny.
Super skinny, and he's listed at 190 on the roster, but you know, that's standing at 6'9" with wide shoulders. I mean, he's just rail thin. You know, Ricky mentioned the Kevin Durant comparison. We mean that in terms of body type, yeah, body more type. So than anything.
Well, he shoots it too.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. But, you know, he's such a rail thin player that you wonder if he's going to be bodied away from the basket and if he's going to be able to, you know, be roughed up and taken out of his game. He showed that he started to play better against physicality in July and going into, you know, his senior year of high school, which is when he really started to separate himself as a top five prospect in this class. You know, I just think that Winslow, you know, loved contact. Parker, you know, was going for contact to get to the free throw line. I don't know if Brandon Ingram is a guy who desires enough contact to be a regular high-level scorer in the ACC. This is going to be a really interesting year for Duke. There's a lot of question marks in terms of what kind of lineups they go to, which freshman will step up. Is Derek Thornton capable of taking the show as a freshman guard? And
who's,
you know,
their go-to scorer, even?
Yeah,
like, I think a lot of people assume it's going to be Grayson Allen.
Yeah,
but
you still have a lot of question marks surrounding that as well. Certainly a lot of experience, but a lot of question marks for this Duke team as well. They're going to be a very fascinating team to watch, especially with a game like the Champions Classic early in the season where they play Kentucky.
Hell yeah, we're both going to be there. It's in Chicago at the United Center. That's going to be really fun.
That's going to be a good one.
One thing I like about Ingram, and it sort of goes into, you know, sort of the way basketball shifted over the last few years with an emphasis on versatility, I think that Duke can play Ingram either as in either role in the pick and roll. He can either set the screen or he can handle it a little bit in the pick and roll. And you talked about, you know, maybe he gets roughed up physically, takes him out of his game, but, you know, conversely, he can just take a step back. He has 3-point range. I'm very interested to see what his shooting numbers are going to be from 3-point range this year, because that's sort of one of the things in grassroots ball. You don't always have a great set of statistics to work with. You know, a guy can have a reputation as a shooter, but does that mean he's a volume shooter, an efficient shooter? So we're going to find out exactly how talented Brandon Ingram is when it comes to shooting from the outside this year. And if he's a knockdown 3-point shooter, we know that since Coach K has started his sort of Team USA experience, Duke shoots as many threes as any team in the country. So if Brandon Ingram's got the green light to pop from three, and you have him at the four, that's going to space defenses out so much. A very quick, strong point guard like Thornton's going to have some driving lanes. You can see how Grayson Allen, that would just open things up a lot more for him. So I think, you know, Ingram is definitely going to be in a position to succeed at Duke just because the floor is going to be space. He's going to have a lot of talent around him. And they have other scoring options like Grayson Allen and some experience next to him, like Emile Jefferson and Plumlee, to sort of take that burden off of him in terms of defense as well. So, next guy, you have the Mississippi State roster up, so I guess that means we're going to be talking about Malik Newman. Malik Newman, one of your favorite grassroots players from a year ago, I know. Malik Newman is a pure bucket getter. He just scores. You give him the ball and he scores 2 points.
Maybe, I love bucket getters.
Maybe 3 points.
I love bucket getters.
That's typically how it works. Very interesting decision to attend Mississippi State because, you know, there's typically not 5-star prospects who choose the Mississippi State Bulldogs, at least not since Renardo Sidney. That's like the last 5-star guy who comes to my mind that they got. Is this an NCAA tournament team at Mississippi State? Is the offense going to be given to Malik and clear out? Like, how does he fit exactly into this picture, and are they going to win?
I have no idea how this year is going to be for Mississippi State. You look at the new coach and Ben Howland and his ability to land and keep Malik Newman in the state of Mississippi, where he has a huge reputation with multiple state titles and huge scoring numbers. I think that he has the capability to be a dynamic offensive player right away at the college level. I don't think he's necessarily the best pro prospect
right.
on this
he's
group.
He's a 6'3", two guard, basically.
Man, does he get buckets. He's the type of kid you just put the ball in his hands and he's going to go get points for you. And his ability to shoot off the dribble on pull-ups, like I've seen him in some games where he comes down the floor and he nails 3-pointers on 4 or 5 consecutive possessions because he just gets heated up and in the zone like nobody's business off the dribble. And at times he's uncontainable if he's got smaller guards on him. You know, he's got decent size for a ball, you know, college a guard with guard. Yeah, for a guard with the ball in his hands, he's still tough to stop. He's improved as a passer and ball handler, especially off pick and roll situations. He has worked on that. I mean, this is a guy who won gold medals for USA basketball as a, you know, primary ball handler. So it's not like he hasn't played point guard in high leverage situations. I'm just really fascinated to see what Ben Howland does with him, how much of the shots he gives him. And, you know, we heard a lot about Malik Newman being intrigued by Howland coaching Russell Westbrook at UCLA. And how much does that translate, and how much will Ben Howland tailor his game to the way that the SEC plays and the way that maybe Malik Newman and his players want to play? It's going to be a fascinating thing to watch.
Yeah, I don't think Newman has just that nuclear explosion that Westbrook has, but who does, really?
Westbrook's no, just he's on another planet. Yeah, he's insane.
So I've got a comp for you for Newman. I think a lot of people have compared him to Monte Ellis, another Mississippi native who was a five-star recruit. Did Monte Ellis score like 100 points at a high school game or something ridiculous like that back in the day? Newman is a similar type of just score points, just get buckets. But like you said, the way that Newman heats up in his range from outside, he reminds me of Ben Gordon a little bit, who was the number three pick in the draft. Oh, I guess that was in 2004. We're old people now, 11 years ago. But I can see him having a similar impact to someone like Ben Gordon, just in the sense that, like, when he gets going, get out of the way, because Malik is scoring.
Yeah, he's got that ability, I think, that these other guys don't have, to just flat out get points in a hurry. And he's a guy that can really just get you 20 and a half if he's hot enough. And he's going to be a lot of fun to watch if he's in a groove this year, because he can really get rolling.
I'm a little disappointed that he's going to Mississippi State, though, because I don't think the team is going to be good enough.
Like, you know what?
I want him in the Kemba Walker, Shabazz role, where you know he's going to be playing deep in March, and you know that the other team knows he's getting the ball, and they still can't stop him. That's what I want to see. I guess, you know, the SEC's really improved this year, so he should play a lot of interesting games just in conference for the Bulldogs. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Mississippi State surprises some people this year. I think that's five. So do you have any guys sort of flying under the radar in terms of, like, immediate impact this year who you think are going to be pretty good?
I don't think they're under the radar guys because they're McDonald's All-Americans, but I think two guys in the Big East that are poised for pretty good years are Henry Ellenson at Marquette, you know, an in-state kid, 6'10", stretch guy who can really do everything on the floor. He's had some big games for Marquette already overseas in their trip this summer, and I think he's got a chance to be a high-level scorer and rebounder immediately in the starting lineup for Steve Wojciechowski. And I also really like Jalen Brunson going to Villanova. I think that playing with intelligent players around him, high-level guards, you know, Jay Wright has shown over the years that he can take great guards and make them, you know, fit within great offenses and go on great runs. And I think that he has the guards this year with Brunson and Ryan Arkback, that he's got really a nucleus that can take them places this year, because Brunson's been a winner in the past with USA Basketball and at every level of play in high school. I think that it's going to be a big-time year for him as well.
So the last couple of years, we sort of had this dominant freshman point guard. 2 years ago, it was Tyler Enos. Last year, it was Tyus Jones. Brunson fits that mold for sure, where I don't know if he's a super great NBA prospect because he doesn't have a, you know, amazing burst, amazing speed, but this kid is just so good. We both saw him up close because he's from the north suburbs of Chicago. He plays Stevenson High School here, and he was really tremendous. He played against Jahlil Okafor's a very talented Whitney Young team in a Final Four here when he was a junior. I think he scored like 56 points against him.
Yeah, he gets hot in a hurry. He's the son of Rick Brunson, who's an NBA player, so he comes from great bloodlines, and he's just really, really talented, a ruthless competitor, incredibly intelligent. You know, you look at his numbers from when USA Basketball just recently won the U19 championships. He was the starting point guard for that
group. He was great for that team.
Yeah, and especially he came on strong late when they really needed him, the semifinals and the championship. You know, he limited his turnovers those games. He had high assist totals. He played in intense basketball games that, you know, were competitive and played well. I think he's another guy to watch.
Two more names, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Just two guys I like. First is Dwayne Bacon, who's going to be a 6'6 shooting guard going to Florida State this year. Florida State has a really good class coming in, along with Malik Beasley, who's another guy there. Terrence Mann, another top 100 prospect that they're bringing in for the Seminoles this year. I think Dwayne Bacon could potentially be a one-and-done guy if he has a big year, if he gets enough looks. Obviously, with Xavier...
Raytham Mays
there. He's a guy who likes the ball in his hands. Beasley is a guy who likes the ball in his hands. So I don't know if there's going to be enough basketballs to go around for Florida State this year. That's a very real possibility. But Bacon has mega high upside because he's super athletic. He's got NBA size for a wing. And it'll be interesting to see how he scores off the dribble and how he operates in the pick and roll this year, I think.
Yeah, I think that Florida State's going to be a very interesting team. They import these talented wings in the same class, three of them, not even including Terrence Mann. But, you know, they're going to be a team where, again, where do the shots come from and how do they spread the love?
Yeah, and then the other guy is Jalen Adams, who is going to UConn. Kevin Ollie has such a good track record with point guards, and I think that Adams sort of fits in seamlessly for that team. They have some really good-looking pieces on that UConn team. I liked them a lot last year, and they were sort of a disappointment, but Daniel Hamilton entering the sophomore season, he could potentially be one of the better sophomores in the country this year. You have Amita Brima, who's back as a senior, potentially could be one of the best big men in the country this year. They still have Rodney Purvis doing his best Deion Waiters impression over there for UConn, so... do you think Adams, is he going to be the day one point guard for them? And sort of how do you think he fits in?
I don't think he's going to, you know, that backcourt's so crowded for UConn.
Sam Cassell Jr.
Yeah, Sam Cassell Jr., Rodney Purvis. You know, you just look at what they bring back.
He's more of a pure point guard.
Sterling Gibbs transferred in.
Sure.
I mean, there's, and Daniel Hamilton to boot. That's a lot of guys on the wing who want to handle the ball on the perimeter. I'm not sure where Jalen Adams fits into that scheme of things, and I don't know how those guys play together. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch.
They certainly have some talent, though. So, you know, Kevin Ollie's figured it out before. Maybe he'll be able to do it again. I think that about does it for us. For Scott, I'm Ricky. Thanks for listening.